So we're going to talk about what's in bloom, and this is kind of the overview of what we're going to talk about. We have this in your outline. We're going to do some science and some theology. And so the Human Embryo Research Panel report, I testified in front of them in Washington, D.C. A book has come out since then by Ron Green. He does not like theologians. He thinks we're evil. Even though some of us have PhDs in science and other areas, because what they see is a theology degree. And this is the statement. Pre-implantation, unimplanted is my word, human embryo warrants serious moral consideration. That's the emotional side. That's going to placate a lot of people. As a developing form of human life, that's the evolution. It's a developing form. Form is evolution talk. So, it's not a human being, it's a developing form of a human life. Obviously, it's a human oversight. Now, the butt gets in there. This is the issue. But it does not have the same... Now, here's the separation. This is the old, way back, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates. All these guys separate the body and the soul. It's just the body. And it doesn't have the same moral status as an infant or a child. Now, why? You can get excited, and you should consider it. To me, this is hypocritical. But because it hasn't individuated. That means the cells in the embryo haven't decided that they're going to be arms, and legs, and feet, and hair, etc., etc. Now, this book here wouldn't agree with that. It said, hey man, the early embryo, 2 to 8 cells, they're clicking and moving. They are deciding what's going to happen. The embryo, this is a continuum. This is a process. The embryo is defined from day one, the zygote, the one unicellular zygote. Fertilized oocyte, it's called embryo. From first day to week 8 is embryo. From week 8, the birth, 38 to 42 weeks, is called fetus. They don't say week 9. Why? Because it's a continuum. In this book, they'll tell you, human life is a continuum. You don't interrupt it. Okay. So, then they don't use the word, interestingly enough, conception. It really is not a term of embryology. It is simply a Latin term. The word conceptus doesn't mean the fertilized oocyte. It means... this is interesting. The conceptus is from the embryo all the way to birth. It's called the conceptus. It's a process. Yet don't interrupt. That's what they're saying here. And this man who wrote this book is in charge of the, I can see from Latin English, it's the, it's not a society, but it's an organization that is in charge of naming and maintaining the up with the technology on what are the names and how to view an embryo. He's at Roman Mortadillo, he's in charge. With Fabio Mula, German like a deal. These two guys are considered the experts. So it can't be a human being. If it's not a human being, it's not a person. It's not a person. The other one, this is the big one, of course, that Peter Singer goes with. It's not aware of its surroundings. Sentience. If it's not aware of its surroundings, it can't be a human being. It's not a human being. It's not a person. It's not a person. It's not an issue. So since it can't cognitively think, it cannot be a human being. And then they say, it's not complex yet. You ask a cell biologist, Is the one cell, say skin cell, is it complex? I'll say, whoa, boy, is it ever. Well, so is that complex? That's interesting. I thought we came from simple to complex in evolution. And we start out complex. Okay? They don't understand the cell. They're still looking at it. They're still trying to figure out the gene, or the genomes, as they call it. They don't know about the human genome. They're still trying to figure out about messenger RNA. They're still trying to figure out about all of the Krebs cycle, all the enzymes. 98% of the genes that they have discovered are called jump genes. things and don't know what they do, maybe in regulation and so forth. I thought we started off simple. No, we started off very complex. Very complex. So, duh, that should go home. But they're not going to agree with that. Complex to them means multi-stuff. No. And why do they still study the Hebrew? A whole lot. I mean, this doesn't make sense. It's just, they criminalize common sense. But that's politics. Okay, most other qualities considered relevant to moral status, that means pay taxes, contribute to society. Yeah, whatever, you know, moral status, they gotta think. They gotta think, they gotta do this. This is right on page 105. And this is what they use now to justify embryonic stem cell research. And most of it is this. This is really where they hang their hat. This is the co-maker. Sentience. And then the very high rate of natural mortality. About, as I'm finishing a paper on embryo freezing, about, anywhere from 12 to, up to, 90% or so embryos that are thawed die, about more or less the same in the womb. And so they say, since it dies in the womb, it can't be a human being. I never understood this one. Where death defines moral status. At the turn of the century, some of us older ones will remember, maybe if you live back in 1904, I don't know. Good theory killed about 50 to 60% of all children. It never changed their moral status. They were still a child. I just don't get some of this stuff. I've talked to philosophers. This is philosophy. This is not science. Person or personhood is a philosophical concept. It is not science. But they try and drag the philosophy into science. And of course, then you can learn about Aristotle, who believed, of course, everything came matter is all over there, or Plato, the teacher Socrates, Socrates, the rest of them, Lucretius, and some of these guys. I'd like to name Lucretius. I never call my daughter Lucretia or something like that. So that's that side. Now you gotta just kind of keep this in mind. And here's what the doctors of embryology. Now I'm just quoting out of, I even used my daughter's embryology book she had in medical school by Larson. And Larson on page 5 says the embryo is a human being. That quotes up here. He calls it a human being. Now he doesn't get into philosophy, he doesn't get into theology. It's a human being. And it's all on a continuum. They all say that. They all just say don't get into this personhood stuff because that's philosophy. It's a human being. Now the Lutheran Church, and Catholic and other Christian churches that believe the embryo is a human being, the person is embodied. It's part of the human being. It's part of the being. So we don't separate it out. We just assume we have a body and soul. And these are the statements that they say. I mean, sex is determined when two to eight cells are present. The genome is activated. Come on, it's gone. I mean, it's foreign things. So when they say, oh, excuse me, it's not a human being. And the scientists, they know what it's going to be. I bet they didn't listen to him. So I hope we get an answer. If it gets out of us, I'll call them. But this is wrong. Zygote is the beginning of the new human being, an embryo. Embryo currently used in embryology means unborn human, first 8 weeks. And I can go on and on and on. Sex is determined, post-it, they have an age, they have a pineal age. They're given an age. How can you give something that's not human no age? Huh? They give an age. And you talk to a woman who's pregnant, and what do you think they're going to say they're pregnant with? What are they going to they're going to say, I have a baby. Let's see what the Hebrew word says for baby. So, and that's no problem. That's not Hebrew. This is over here. This is the book I have up here where he says a new genetically distinct human organism is formed when the chromosome of male and female. We'll go about what pronuclei are. Don't worry about that now. Glenn and Oldside. And this comes all the way from 1980 when Heiss, a German, Wilhelm Heiss, wrote this three-volume treatise on human embryology. They've always looked at this as a human being. That's science. That's a scientific. Well, then we might say, why don't they believe that? Well, if they did, they won't get money. $25 million now from the federal government's funding embryonic stem cell research. That's because of the, 64 lines or so that are out there now, but most of them are dead. That's what they're using. But we'll talk more about that in a moment. It's not a preembryo. Preembryo is a word that was generated in the late 1970s. It came out, I even brought the book here, by Rochstein, Clifford Rochstein. He's a mammalian embryologist primarily, although he does work with frogs. Not Budweiser frogs. And Judge Robert Carney, and they said, look, it's a preembryo. Because the nervous system hasn't started. And then they said, the nervous system comes up to day 14. And from 12 to 17 days, the neural tube, the neural core, starts to develop anytime in between. It is not just at day 14. That's arbitrary, that's capricious, to say at day 14. No. Well, it could twin up to day 14. It could twin up to day 17. Most twinning occurs in the first couple of days, 3 days. But they show this out in newspapers here at U of I, that twinning, well, since it doesn't twin up to day 14, it can't be a human being. That's not right. That's not science. That's false science. And I'm just telling you what's here. The neural tube starts between 12 and 17. But it's a continuum. It doesn't all of a sudden, boop, it's here. But it, all of a sudden you see the little node starting at the posterior end, the caudal end, and then develops up. Just keeps on going. And these are the four reasons why, and the very last reason you can see, it was largely for political public policy. Because what happens is that if we say it's not an human embryo until 14 days, because the nervous system, etc., we can experiment on it because it won't suffer pain. Yeah, seriously. It's a money issue. But it did, but these four reasons are taken out of the book and other books. So again, I'm not trying to, it's not that I'm all about, I just plagiarize and tell you what they got. Well. So in the mother's womb, one flesh union. And here we go. This is it. These are called pronuclei. They come together, they loop through the membrane, and I don't know which is sperm and egg, but they come together here. Now this is called, here's the pelusa. That's that big, thick cover. You can see some sperm out there. Herman's trying to get in, but he's not going in. It's over with. Ethel says, go fish. Go find some other oversight. Your history problem. And so here you got, they're coming together, and this is what is called a zygote. A one-day-old embryo. It is not pre-embryo, it is not a morula, which means great life. It is, this is right out of the womb. Okay? Now I'm just going to go through these. You can look at this. I want you to just kind of, I'm just going to kind of look at this. Here's where they come together, 46 chromosomes. A polar body, this is simply, is outside the embryo, and this is just the leftover chromosome. Right before fertilization, the woman's oocyte does have 46 chromosomes. That's why if you can stimulate them with hormones and chemicals, it's called parthenogenesis, virgin origin. And they have done this in cloning. They have created women clones just by stimulating them because they have 46 chromosomes, which means they have XX, of course. Okay? They call those parthenos. Clone parthenos. I'm going to go through this now. So you can have a look here. I may not need it up, so then you may have to help me. Okay. These cumulus cells, these are cells. They have 46 chromosomes, XX, from the outside of the woman's oocyte to help, they fit and nourish the oocyte. Cumulus means heat. Like cumulus clouds, heat. They're all thousands of them. And they have cloned, they'll take the genetic material out of an oocyte and put one of these in, put a hole, right through the zona pellucida and put it right into the oocyte after they remove the DNA out. Called, I know these are a lot of terms, it's remove the genetic material from the oocyte, put in the cumulus cell. And they've actually succeeded with cloning women this way. There's a lot more they can clone than on the women's side. outside of the sperm. The kangaroo is the sperm. Okay, this is kind of neat. That's not me. Now, I want you, is this human being?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to do something and you tell me when it stops becoming a human being. Normally, in biology classes, they don't do it this way. But I'd love to see somebody try this at the University of Illinois in basic zoology or biology class. Usually, they're teaching assistants. That's what I did when I was here. And then they would never ask when does it stop becoming a human.
Right there, right before that slide without a cell.
Okay, right before the without a cell or cell. But think about it. But they will say, some will say it doesn't have arms and legs, circulation system, circulatory disorder, the heart, all of this stuff. So they go back to characteristics. And if you base whether you're human or not human based on characteristics, which many people do, that's what a lot of the foot babies in the 60s and 70s were born without limbs. And some people believe that. Doesn't have arms, doesn't have legs. You know, doesn't fly for long, can't be a duck. I'm not talking about ducks, human beings. But when I go backwards, I usually find people not asking a lot of questions. Because what does it demonstrate? It's a continuum. And it really is. When can you say to me, well, at this point it stops being a human being? Huh? I don't see it. That's science. That's not theology. Here's the theology. In the Bible, the text in Exodus 20:21 is controversial. I will tell you. It is a difficult text because it deals with what is called in our law the law of the claw, lex talionis, law of claw, and that means the crime, the punishment is the crime. You heard eye for eye, tooth for tooth, wound for wound. That's in this passage. And it says this. If two men are fighting and they hit a woman who is pregnant with child in the Hebrew is a phrase called hara yeladah. That means pregnant with child. Child in Hebrew is what they call a construct. It's neither male nor female. It's simply a child and a woman. Doesn't give the location. Probably implanted. I don't know. But if you hit that woman, now this is a controversy, and she literally gives birth to this child, or dead or alive, it is then involved, and it is eye for eye, tooth for tooth, and then, or sometimes you might have to pay the husband for loss of life or injury to the mother. Injury to the mother, now this is what the Old Testament people told me. I don't read Hebrew. I read enough to get myself into trouble, but not out of trouble. So I go to the Hebrew. And they say, yeah, this is controversial text, but the context, and this is one thing about Lutheran theology, we deal with context. We deal with scripture interpreting scripture. It says, since the child is the property of the woman, regardless of what happens to the woman or the husband or to the child, it is still eye for eye, tooth for tooth, whatever. The crime fits the punishment. So in the United States, you kill a woman who the child dies too, that's manslaughter. Why? Because the 14th Amendment says that child is a woman's property. That's why you have an abortion. It's the property of the woman. And so in the law too, in the Old Testament law, Levitical law, all those things. So that's what Exodus 21 is all about. But it's a child in the womb. Now, I will tell you, if you go into other places, like Kings and other places in the Old Testament, for example, Rehoboam took advice from, here it is, young men. The Hebrew word there is yeladim. It's the same word yelad, only this is yeladim. mean? Neve in Hebrew means plural, so young men. So the point is, this is the only Hebrew word that I have learned from the Hebrew people. When I find this, I go to them and I say, am I on track with this? They'll either tell me yes or no. I can take that. They said, this is the only Hebrew word that's used for child in the womb and outside the womb. It's the only Hebrew word. And if it was different, there would be a different word. But God said, no. You are a child in here, you are a child outside. You're a man outside, you're a child inside. Look the word up in the dictionary. Child says human being. A young man is a human being. So, the text is quite thin. And it's the only, now, you can have, there are two other Hebrew words, but they don't think, they would say, well, what's in here is special. But in the New Testament, the Greek word is brephos. B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Brephos. Yellow, Y-E-L-O. L-E-D, yellow. You can put an A-H yellow for the child. But breakfast is the word, counter word in the Greek language, where, you know, the child in leap for joy. Breakfast means unborn child and teenager, or older adult. There's a counter. And then you have other, you know, Hebrews, the Nicene Creed. This is what gets me. I have some friends that are Lutheran pastors who just don't see it. I don't want to see it. Well, I don't want to see it. They're philosophers. They're PhDs in philosophy. And the Nicene Creed says, conceived by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, now I'm going to give you the Latin, and then I'll tell you what it means. And homo facus est. Now that means, and made man. That means he was a man right now at his inception. Yes, his conception was different than ours, but God took on human flesh. He was a human being at his conception. And the Bible tells us he was just like us in every way. He was an embryo. He doesn't say embryo in fetus, but that's what he was. He was in a womb, Mary's womb, for 3 to 42 weeks. And then the body says it has a rejection. It rejects you after that. It said, I don't want you anymore. Beat it. You're out. And he was a human being from his conception. So if he wasn't a human being until the 14th day, whoa, then you can just kill the incarnation, the redemption, everything else in the Bible. Okay. I mean, it just doesn't work. So the Nicene Creed tells in theology, and she was found to be with child. See, this is two separate events into one. This is God's action. It's just like a lot of things in the Hebrew Bible, where you have this word "and" and it takes two separate and makes them one because it's God's action. It's like in Isaiah, his name will be, it's singular, you know, Mighty Counselor, Prince of Peace. In Hebrew, it's one name. It's not several names. That's one whole name, because in Hebrew you don't have commas. They just read it. It's a name. And be with child and give birth to a son. You have a child, and it's already a male child, and you're giving birth to a son, not a lost self. So what I'm saying here is that the science supports the theology. When you plug it into the Bible. Now if it didn't, let me tell you. And I'm not making this up. And this is what ticks off a lot of people. Oh, you're reading. I'm not reading into the Bible. I'm just telling what it says. Now, the newspapers, this is how the newspapers look at the human being in a biased way. Read Bernard Goldberg's book, Bias. You want a good book on bias? He worked for CBS. He called Dan Rather in that book, The Data. He has no respect for Dan. I used that book in a graduate class at the seminary. And his second book out called he wrote another one. Anybody read that? Oh, man. The Argument for Bias, oh, something like that, whatever. And he talks about it. And he talks about the bias in the newspapers towards genetics, homosexuality, etc. And some of you have had that already happen here on this campus. And when I was here, we never talked about it, nobody cared about it here. We were in Vietnam. We had to go in the computer lab there, just snark the old name, and use our card. We had to type everything out. Long spreadsheets, you know, we had cards, and they had dogs surrounding the computer. So you're just a blob of cells, you're a blob of cells, you're just a potential property, all of these things. Now this blob of cell, science says this. I could ask, what's the chief going? Science, look in the mirror, what do you see? You see a human being. And you have over 3 trillion cells that are all stuck together. You are a blob of cells. So when they say to me, oh, it's just a blob of cells. Oh, so are you. And you are. You are, and you, doesn't have any shape around. I wouldn't want to say the person around. But it has shape. If you're going to use that word, then it's shape. So I don't think this fits. And it doesn't have arms and legs. Oh, come on. Give me a break. And if you ask them, you ask some of these people, this is interesting. Ask these people who have had children to believe the embryo is not a human being. And you say, well, now, do you have any trouble with that? Well, tell me what your wife said when she became pregnant. Did she say she had a lot of cells? Did she say she didn't have a human? No, I believe my wife. But see, you got to kind of go on her level. And did she ever say, oh, we're going to have a baby? Oh, really? Look the baby up in the dictionary. Human being. Member of the species Homo sapiens. That's good. So if you kill it, you're just removing one of us before it even comes out to be perfect. You are now a member of the species Homo sapiens. Yeah. Okay, in the biblical view, they don't say much about the Christian. It's just a human being once in a while. You see that, Judaism, you're not fully human until you're born. So that's why they can support embryonic stem cell research. And the other thing is, in Genesis 1:26-27, there's a Hebrew word for dominion. Ah. And that means dominion, and they translate that sometimes mastery. And that brings back the Jewish name, perpetuate. We keep the family name going when we clone Papa who's dead, who died out of Auschwitz or something like that. I'm serious, I heard this. This is all testimony from 1996-97. It's all published. And you get this, I think, government.org or something, or publications are all free. You pay for them all along. The testimonies are in. Back to basics. We go back to the basics. The Bible is the norm. Scientific discovery serves God's word. That's from our Lutheran view. The Roman Catholics would say this because they're very big. They don't care. I mean, across the board, now some do support embryonic stem cell research, like in the Lutheran, like some Lutheran church research centers do. They do. Okay. That was a bad joke. I don't know what everybody said. The moral status of the embryonic human being. Darwin, Neil Darwin changes it. It's all relative changes it. And then you have Christology. Christ. If he wasn't a human being at his conception from the biblical viewpoint, then you might as well pitch the incarnation, pitch it all. And you can do that if you believe Darwin, because now he's just a fixer. He's just showing us how to be perfect. This is important, from my viewpoint, how one takes a look at all of this. So, which child would you say was wanted? This child, this child, this Washington Times, just look back to the February 16th, 02. I saved all these cartoons. I remember one when they were bombing the Afghanistan and showed Osama bin Laden, in a cave facing the back of the cave and showed one of his henchmen looking out over the cave, about to spy me, and the psalmist says, what you doing? He says, how about the bingo? The psalmist says, huh? Yeah, B-52, F-16.
God, no, we're not speaking.
That's great. That's what it's done. Okay. So, okay. Now, that's it. That's the science, and that's the theology. Now, do you have questions about this? Before you go on with the cloning. See, we're moving around. We're going to clone around for a while before we're running. Then when we come back, we're going to take a look at, what is that? I don't even remember what it says. Oh, yes. Terry Shiloh. And then homosexuality before we theology. It's very fast, and we move right along this. Anything else? Any questions? Know something about, like, well, it doesn't know what's going on. then you have to sort of think to yourself, if it doesn't know what's going on around it, as I have said, how then can you say, then how come it's continuing to divide? And how come it's doing its thing in the mother's womb? So you got to take where they're at, pick on a word or a phrase that they're using that you know you can handle, whether it's the word knowledge or whether, well, it can't be a human being. Say, well, I just heard this lecture from a guy, Bob Rice, who has a PhD here, and he studied embryology, and the embryologists say it's a continuum and it is a human being. Oh, that's his opinion. No. He held the book up. He showed us the scientific data, and they won't believe you. And because our responsibility as a Christian is to plant the seed in the water, to try and persuade them, all we can do is say, here's what the science says. We believe it's in service to God's word, because Jesus, have you ever heard Jesus? Oh, yeah, I've heard Jesus. Now, if they're a Christian, so you believe he was God. Now, it's an unbeliever. It's like a Christian scientist, they can say, of course, he wasn't your God. Or there's some other, he was just another prophet. So, well, you won't be the first baseman. I don't want to get into having Costello who's on first. Well, what do you mean who's on? Well, who's on first? Well, what's on second? Well, what's on second? Well, it's kind of funny. And so then it's a matter of but this is how it is. Well, you believe Jesus is human. Well, was he human from conception? Of course he was. No. You just said that human can't be human until way down the road. That means Jesus wasn't human. No, I didn't say no. See, this is the Socratic side of it. Finding something, asking a question that goes right to the heart of the problem. I don't know if this is helping you.
Oh, sure.
And all it is this takes time. Mm-hmm. And so people say, well, I don't know as much as you do. I just finished the sabbatical. Mm-hmm. Sabbaticals are supposed to do what they do, find out what you don't know. And I'm going wrong. I just have to keep reading. I'm still reading to you. I just bought a molecular genetics book, and man, whoo, I got to have at least 4 or 5 different beverages to get through this. But it's helpful for me when people ask questions, and I can, this is what science says, whether we understand it or not, whether you say, well, this is too deep for me, I'm not worried about that. Because what will happen is when you start to read Time News, you'll see some of this terminology, you'll see the way they are politicizing and creating terms like prezygote, that's for legal issues, pre-embryos for experimental issues, pseudoblastocysts for it doesn't exist. Those are not terms. And anybody that knows anything here at the University of Illinois about embryology, they will have to agree with you. See, then you might say to one of your friends, well, is there such a thing in embryology as pre-embryo? Well, then why do you use it? No. Why do we use it? Well, it's a political. It's for money. I don't know. Anybody want to help with the argument? Have you learned something you want to share maybe in dealing with people like this? If they're not believers, our responsibility is the salvation of their soul, of finding the seed and water. How can we convince them? You can give them the science. I mean, I've testified in Washington and Jefferson City, and I have told them, did you vote for Bush? Well, you must have agreed with him when in August of 2001 he approved the use of these 64 stem cell lines, half of them are in Europe and half of them are here at the University of Wisconsin, and they're selling them now. You must have approved of that. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't believe that. He put his foot forward. He opened it up. That's where the $25 million comes down. No, I don't approve it. And they just kind of, and I gave the science. And then Teitelbaum stands up in Washington University. He goes up there with his nice little video and his rats that had neurodegenerative disease. He used embryonic stem cells he created, injected them. He got good results. They started walking again. That's fine. That's nice. That's okay. And then he said, and then Dr. Ed Bouchard, PhD from Vatican, bright guy. We both did our dog and pony show. And then Teitelbaum gets up, and the first thing he says, I want to correct some of the signs of God for us. But this one really interesting since I've quoted the guy. And he didn't recognize that. Oh, sorry about that. You didn't see all the pictures. My four daughter, five are up there. Okay, so sorry about that. And there's Marshall. Okay. So I want to write a laugh. Okay. So he shows the pictures, and some guy standing next to me, we're all kind of leaning like this, looking. He says, "Well, I thought that's what you said." Because he's the one that calls the blastocyst a pseudoblast. It can't be human. Because the blastomeres, the cells in this blastocyst, the little cell inside it, can't be human. Of course they can't turn into a human. We know that. But then he means that the embryo can't be a human being. That's absurd. If that's true, then Dolly never would have existed. You see the argument? Then the blastocyst that she came from wasn't a lamb, or wasn't a ewe, or wasn't a whatever. That doesn't make sense. Then they should never talk about reproductive quality. It's not an issue then. But it is. And they want you to ask the question. So Washington University, when they have conferences on this, they're all set up. People are invited, but the questions are handed out. Oh, say, I'm not joking. They never let this Dr. Kloedian, who works with these men, who doesn't believe in embryonic stem cell research. He's an MD, PhD, this guy's smart. They won't let him on board, and they won't let him ask questions. And then his colleagues pile up, oh, they go, no, he's our friend, he's a good guy. No. That's how it is. See? Okay. Any more questions or yes, sir?
Would you speak to the issue of adult stem cell research?
We're going to talk about that. That's coming up. Adult stem cell research, yeah. I'll tell you, if I have articles with me, I always do, from scientific journals on embryonic and adult stem cell research. I'll just tell you, currently one experiment has been done at the University of Wisconsin, just published on the internet, Biotech Nature, where they isolated motor neurons that are involved in motor things from embryonic stem cells. In humans, now that's the first time. Published. Now they did a lot on mice. A lot of embryos, stem cells isolated from mice. But the stack of adult stem cells were like over 300,000 of the stack of embryo stuff is like just half a dozen or so in terms of human. Now, I don't really care about that, but the point is that the reason is that they don't have the funding. And we'll talk about funding in a minute, but I will get to that. Any other thing? Any other questions before? Yes, sir.
I mentioned there is a Judaism rationalizes acquiring embryos outside of the womb.
First of all, you're not, well, okay. The embryo is not a human until the embryo develops into a human being and is born. That's all.
Right. How do you acquire it outside of the womb?
How do you what?
How do you acquire it outside of the womb?
Well, you have to take it from the woman's ovaries, and then you have to fertilize it. You see? And then outside of the womb, it's just an embryo, and since it hasn't been born, it can't be a human being. So it's got to live in the womb, be born to be a human being. So until it's born, you can do anything you want with it.
That's
because it's not fully human.
That's funny. You can't turn it on. What's your job?
Of course it's terminology, but that's your theology. And the reason that comes from is that Adam and Eve, of course, were created outside the womb. They never came from, I call it the womb of God, but they don't like that. Anything else? Yeah, let's go to the cloning thing. I don't know if we'll finish this before, but we'll find out here. Okay. Dolly's dead, so. She died of obesity and bilateral movement in both arms. One of the problems with cloning is it tends to produce animals that are overweight. were implanted in 29 separate surrogate wombs, Yugalese. She survived out of 277. And so my point is that, in fact, she was a pseudoblast, but she never should have developed. I mean, blastocysts, they have blastocysts. It's just that she came from a sheep one. And so if this was pseudo, she never should have developed. But all of the genetic material got activated, and she was born. She came from six-year-old DNA from mammary gland with her twin sister. That, because they had all the genetic material, including the sex, the XX chromosome, made her a female. And so she was born. Literally, genetics is 6 years old. So people say, well, that's why she died. She was already 6 years old. She died 6 years later, so she must have been 12 years genetically. So they studied the caps on these DNA called telomeres and the enzymes that are involved with this polymerase. It's very complicated. And they have caps, and as you age, they thin. So that's why we wrinkle. Some wrinkle, you know, alcohol and smoke, the other things exacerbated, make it worse. Some people, you know, just because of their genome, it's expressed in how they look. Some people tend to look older than others, but now people tend to look younger. We have all kinds of creams and plastic surgery for men and women that's supposed to keep you younger, but you're still going to die. They don't understand original sin. Or they won't understand, so they're going to die. But we have people like transhumanism.com, foresight.com, that are seeking the elixir of immortality, like I call it Indiana Jones syndrome from the Last Crusade. You find a cup of Jesus, a cup of blessing, you drink the water, and you live forever. Well, from our theological viewpoint, yes, we do, because of Christ and his death and his resurrection for the forgiveness of the sins. So that's kind of how we're looking at all of this. And people do believe eventually we can live forever. They don't understand sin. Our responsibility now is to plant the seed and water. So, Dolly, as far as they know, never really died of old age. There are still cats and cows, and they've got some horses and some endangered species that have been cloned, and they're doing fine. So they're not sure that aging is the issue, because people would come to see Dolly, and guess what they would bring for her? What do you take to the zoo to do with animals? You ever go out and see ducks? And what do you do with the ducks? You can't feed them. And so people would bring you food to Dolly. You know, Dolly eats. She's a sheep. You know, and the mandibles of the bite I work with sheep. Sheep are not stupid, by the way. There's an article that came out in the Journal of Nature 3 years ago. They published. Had pictures of two sheep. They were black-faced Suffolk sheep, the kind I work with. And as sheep follow the shepherd's voice. Duh. We knew that for thousands of years. Yeah, they know the shepherd, then they follow. Now some have other opinions, and so we had a sheep we called Jarge, no offense to any Jarge's here. And Jarge used to do his own thing. We were down at Southern Illinois, one of the farms down there, and he always goes to the same place to pick up the greener on the other side, would pick them up. And he'd just sit in our arms, we'd take him back, and put him in his bed. He's very comfortable being held, very secure. But he always went to go out, and he'd always be in trouble. So, I thought that was kind of funny. Scientists finally figured this out. But that's how it is. So, and this is the cell, this is the blastocyst, 4 or 5 day old embryo. These are the stem cells, these are the trophoblastic cells, we'll talk about that in a minute. Here's the seal, maybe under 200, nobody knows for sure, but 150 cells in here. These are the stem cells that are out here. This is the zona pellucida. Pretty soon this whole thing will hatch out right before it implants. Okay? And this is the argument, this is human being. This is what Teitelbaum calls a pseudoblastocyst. So now we have the battle for stem cells. This is right after Christopher Reeve's done. And fine gentleman, but he did believe, of course, in the destruction of 400,000 frozen embryos. And his reason was, it's the greatest of the greatest number. They're going to be pitched anyway. That's his philosophy. The ends justify the means to destroy them. Michael J. Fox, who suffers from Parkinson's, destroy it. Many people have with children with juvenile diabetes and one another, you know, Alzheimer's and neurocorticoid issues and trauma like he had. Use them. They're not human beings. So we can use them. And there's the cell we just talked about. We're going to talk about this in vision right here. This is the zona pellucida. And inside here, these are the cubicular cells from the neuron 4 days later. So how do you clone a human being? Now I'm going to show you a picture, and this comes out of well, that's Dolly. She's not talking into a microphone, that's a camera. And she's huge. She's huge. Big. You're overweight. So the process, now this comes out of Time Magazine. Is this wrong? There are several ways to clone. This is very basic, and this is the one that's used the most. It's called somatic cell nuclear. I prefer the word transplantation because that came from some scientists who published an article in the journal Nature and said they think transplantation is better because it's just when you transplant a kidney and you're transplanting genetic material. And the process up here, even though diagrammatically there may be some differences, I brought some stuff along in case somebody says, well, that's not how it is. This is how it is in one way, but we can demonstrate how we do it in mice later. So you take women, you have to stimulate their ovaries with pergonal clomiphene citrate, pergonal receptor, to upgrade and get all the oocytes out which you can. And the center here are the 46 chromosomes. Okay? Those are put aside and saved, and then you can take a man or a woman. And you take fibroblasts, or skin cells, normally, and usually what they have done and reported, and they have done this with paraplegics. They take skin cells, great means from the back of the calf, and those are put into a petri dish, and they are just not nourished. They are kept in like a physiological saline, pH 7 or so that they are inactivated. I'm giving you terms I've heard geneticists speak. Genetic material in them is inactivated so that it's no longer a skin cell. It's just a cell with 46 chromosomes. And in this case, it has XY. If we took the calf skin of a woman, it would have what? XX. 2X. So they're inactivated. Then after all of this goes on, then we take put a needle into the woman's egg and make it enucleated. Enucleated. Some call that egg, but it's enucleated. That means we remove the genetic material. Now, I'm well aware there is what is called mitochondrial DNA in there. I always get this, whoa, what about the mitochondrial DNA? It's there, because that's internally passed on and changed very little over time. Is that going to impact what happens? That's why a clone done this way is not identical. Now, in the womb, sperm and egg is identical. Monozygotic twins. They're identical. But these aren't exactly identical. Because you've got the woman's mitochondrial DNA, and now we're putting in the man, or woman's genetic material. So we remove the nucleus. Now, this looks like a chicken red blood cell with the nucleus. This is a skin cell that's been inactivated. It's now they do two things. They can put it next to each other, a little electricity, and the bilateral membranes fuse open up, and the genetic material goes in. And so now it has 46 chromosomes, XX or XY. Now sometimes they put a hole through the zona pellucida and inject it. They can do that. Okay, so there's ways to get it in. The way is to get it in. And then when it's in, if everything works out, remember this, all 46 chromosomes are going to be activated, including XX or XY. So you move from inactivation to activation. If they're not all activated, then you're get it into the enucleated oocyte, where it will be activated by what happens inside there with a little electricity and some hormones. Let it develop, put it into serotonin. Now, it's usually put in between day 2 and 5. Because at day 6, it will start to implant. It goes right into the womb, and from the oocyte, these cells on the outside are called prophyloplastic cells. You have the umbilical cord, the amniotic sac, egg water, all of that comes from the embryo, not the uterus. And that is involved with a thing called genetic imprinting. So it takes both the male and the female genes to do all this. So one flesh union is very much alive and well in the developing embryo. It's not the wife doing all the work in the womb. The husband's genomes are working with the wife. The only way they would work after the child is born, right? It would be okay. Now, that's an experience. Oh, will you help me? Okay? Then 38 to 42 weeks, you're going to get the baby. An identical twin, except with the mitochondria, different. You're going to get an identical twin of yourself. So a couple say, I would really like to use this technology, and this is why they're supporting some people, reproductive cloning, so infertile couples have another method to have a child. Is it going to be their child? Think about it. Will it be their child? Yes or no? No. It's going to be the twin of the mother or the father. And it will actually be the son or daughter of what? My father. Or the daughter of my wife. Father and mother. You with me on that? Yeah, see? So, but society will recognize it as our child because what? We made it. Well, we'll still have inheritance rights to my parents' money. So what you do not spend this on money, you write it on a wall. Yeah? It's really just, can you imagine? I mean, I talk this to my kids and they say, you mean that if you did this, you would be looking at your brother that's 60 years younger than you? I said, yeah. Now, will he be 60 years old in terms of DNA? Many people think that when the DNA goes back into the enucleated oocyte, that it moves back to ground zero. And it's really 0 days. They're still studying this. I can't agree with that right now. Yes, sir?
How is the cell activated, though? I mean,
well, that's the issue. That involves the mitochondria, the energy, and all the processes, the hormones, and things like that that are going on in it. But they're really not sure how all that works.
How would they take that cell then and divide it to put it into 50 different people?
Well, this is the brave new world of those Huxley. When the cell, when you get about the A cell stage, and they have done this, they can take this cell apart. The one embryo has 8 cells, and each one of those cells can be a human. Why? Because they all have 46 chromosomes, including the XX or the XY. Then they create an envelope around each individual cell. So you move from 8. Now you have an additional 8. Now let those 8 divide into 8. You with me?
Then why did they pick 8? Why not 4? Why
did they pick 4? They can pick 4. They can take whatever. And they have done some of that. And they noticed with mice, the more they do that, there's more chance of malformation. But I'm telling you that in molecular genetics, they're not quite sure why. Because the more you mess with the genes, the greater chance you have of messing up the coding process. And anytime you remove information, you get mutation. This is where Darwin fails. And Darwin people will say, this is all a mistake. This is all by chance. Huh? What? You heard that? What? Chance. So when I talk confirmation, I'll have them bring Lego blocks in and put a bunch over here and a bunch over here and say, okay, build something. So they build something in 6 days, you know, it's pretty nice. You know, they might add something to it all and on. I just let these here for the next 10 months while we're teaching. Those things never turn into anything. They get kicked around and moved, but never turn into building or anything. These of course are. And so, but that's gone. That's all. There's KK. That's called copycat. She was cloned by Advanced Cell Technology and Genetic Savings and Clone, some help from the University of Wisconsin. And she doesn't have the same hair color as her twin sister. Hair color is different in clones. Don't know why, but it's different. But she's doing fine. She's doing, I think she was just sold for, $80,000.
eBay?
No. No. Some people have done some crazy things like that. But seriously, I mean, now, if this girl came from a pseudoblastocyst, she should never have been born. See, so when we're back to Dan, so when you're debating this with somebody, it's, oh, these are all pseudoblastocysts. So they really can't be a human being. So was the cat a pseudoblastocyst? Was Dolly? Well, no, wait a minute. You're using mice and saying that mice mimic what happens in humans. And they clone mice, and you've got results, so how can it be pseudo? You know, I think, this doesn't make sense. Oh, you're comparing apples and oranges. No, you are. They don't like that. See, they don't like the rest of the area. Here's one. Here's the genetic savings and clone. The only thing they have cloned is dogs. They can't clone dogs. They clone cats, mice, rats, cows, sheep, horses, mules, some other native species. I don't care if they clone animals. So the movie on Schwarzenegger, The Sixth Day, where they clone the dog. Of course, they give the name intelligence. And this movie up here, embryos, clone, we'll talk about that, and adult stem cells, that's on your outline. So that's the thing we're going to talk about again. We've been over the 400,000, so we're going to get them there. We've been through this. How do we get these spirit frozen embryos? This is not the greatest slide. It comes out of a Time magazine. They're fertilized. They're stored in this cryogenic reservoir. They put nitrogen, take them out, thaw them, let it develop for 4 days, which probably is there already. Tease it open to get this mass of, say, 105 or so stem cells out, and then stimulate them with chemicals and so forth, hormones, until they turn into various tissue, nerve, spleen, pancreas, skin, whatever you want. And they have now demonstrated and isolated some neurons, motor neurons, in humans, University of Wisconsin. They're making a lot of money by selling some of these stem cell lines that are grown on mouse fibroblasts that they think could be contaminated. And then they put them into a human being. The problem, of course, with this is that since they are foreign material, you could reject them. Well, how do you avoid rejection using these fertilized oocyte stem cells? These would be good for study, so we can use them to study. And maybe if we could do tissue-typing antigen studies, like they do the kidney transplant, find somebody in your family that has some spare embryos, and you need, say, heart muscle cells later, and they match, then we could still use some of these. But if they don't match, we have to clone yourself. And so what are we going to do? We're going to have to clone you this way. And so that's therapeutic cloning, using body cells, somatic cells, to get this. We're going to have to clone you to get that. And so we go through the same process. So to avoid rejection, we've got to clone you. You with me on that? We have to clone you. And so we're going to go through this process. I'm not going to go through this again. We're going to stop it right here, so at this stage, at stage 4, 5-day-old embryo, to get this. So we've cloned you. We've developed this. Now we can freeze these. We can keep them. We can tease them open and get the stem. This is your brother or sister. Let them grow into, they tend to grow into three areas. Cells produce the outside body. A group of cells produce the circulatory system, the lymph system, the blood organism, the tissues. And the other third type, called endoderm, that develop, you know, the esophagus, the food, and things like that. Okay? And then we're going to see, and then whatever they develop, this is called compaction, whatever they develop, then we're going to keep those, and then you won't reject them. And if they have, if you're diseased, then eventually gene therapy, use genes to treat them, will correct it before we inject it, so you won't have to worry about having the disease again. That's what they're targeting, gene therapy, before they're implanted in you. And even if you do it, we have a better chance now of finding antigens that can type this stuff. Okay, these are people that, this is the latest published data. They have made the first human cloned embryos. So to cloned embryos, National University of Singapore, 203, Korea's done it, 203. Seoul National University. They have cloned human embryos. They don't clone human beings. They're just cloned, but they've done it. It's been cloned. But people say those aren't human, so they did, but they destroyed them. Australia, you can see what they're doing. Here's the motor neurons one. United Kingdom, this is just awarded this last February to Ian Wilman. He's the guy that cloned Dolly for therapeutic cloning studies. The first one was given in August of last year. So they're doing this over in England, big time. Europe, Singapore. Here's the methods, cloning methods. There is therapeutic cloning for biomedical research cloning. And you heard of Leon Koss? Anybody heard of Leon Koss, KASS? He's at the University of Chicago. He's running President Bush's Council on Bioethics. And we have a Missouri Synod Lutheran on that, Gil Meinheim. And so at any rate, this is the term they use. 10 to 17, or 10 to 7, they said, well, we don't want to do any of these really, but and 10 of them out of the 7 are totally against any anti-hormone therapeutic or reproductive. It's the same process. But they use these terms, they create these terms, giving the impression they're different. The only difference is the end result. So when they say, oh, but they're different, the end is different. Okay? The end is different. But the process is the same. And that's the process of the end. This is out of the post. This is one good thing they did. Here you have a woman, they're going to clone her. They take donor egg, remove the genetic material, put her skin cell in. The nucleus is transferred into this enucleated egg, let it develop into this blastocyst. Here are the stem cells. If they go into a womb, gene cloning, reproductive cloning. If they don't, they go over here, they'll have to be destroyed and killed, get the tissue, and make, you know, pancreas, blood, heart, neurons, liver. That's all embryonic stem cells. Now, if you believe it's a human being, you don't kill it. Well, you could if you still believe it, because who cares? Because philosophy will trump theology in this world. And so what do you do? Kill it. The Bible says, you will not murder. And you, in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, is singular, it's not plural in Hebrew. It's not just to the people of Israel, it's individual to all of us. You will not murder. So in the passage in the pulpit, he points his finger at him and says, you will not murder, meaning you. And everybody clicking. You will not bear my, take my name in vain. Here it is, adult. Where do you get adults? I brought some papers on this, especially on Will, of course, you can read them. No big deal. These are body cells. They all have 46 chromosomes. XXRY. And umbilical stem cells have been used to treat a lot of blood leukemias, disorders that come with like lymphomas. I used to study non-Hodgkin's and Hodgkin lymphoma, cell carcinoma, and all hairy cell leukemia, and all these things. And you can freeze them and use them. It's fine. There are umbilical cord blood banks. They're stem cells. They're very immature. Stem cell simply means something's going to come from it. That's all. They don't know if it's going to be liver spleen, but they have injected umbilical cord stem cells, bone marrow stem cell, placenta into heart muscle, and got some result, or some heart muscle is what they call akinetic. Means it's not beating. It could be from congenital problems, could be from a heart attack. It's akinetic. It's not beating. Not where the muscle is working. And they find some, and they don't know why, but they get some results. So they had some results primarily in leukemia, especially with umbilical cord and bone marrow stem cells. There's a lot of data on that humans. And I mean a lot. Thousands of papers. There's still, and now I'll tell you up front, it is still in an infancy stage, this whole issue of adult stem cells, and are they going to be better than embryonics? I don't get into that argument with people. I'm just saying, because my presupposition where I begin is that it's not a human, and I don't care what you get out of it. Well, let's say they find that it's going to get good data, and they will. They'll find it's some good data from it. You're still going to prove it because it's good data. Is it going to be the same thing for homosexuality? Because you find that there's a gene for it, you can say, okay, now it's okay. Well, if they find a gene for homosexuality, what's the right thing? Well, then there must be a gene for heterosexuality. What's correct? We'll have a bunch of kids walking around. I know, like on the Munsters, you know, that whatever that thing over there, they call it it. It's asexual. I mean, that's a lot to see. I mean, this is kind of how you go. So, there's not much else I can say, is that even literature, even a good scientist in their book, I brought them with me, they'll say, stop the hype on embryonic stem cells. It is so far down the road, more than a generation, more than 20 years, before we're ever going to start getting good data on this that says we can do something. They're already collecting thousands of data on primarily umbilical cord stem cells and placental stem cells. They know that in some cases, it works very well. It's in a restricted area, primarily in diseases of the blood and bone marrow. So it's still very much that too is in the infancy stage. Is it conclusive? Well, they say, but we got to do embryonic because it's more plastic. That means we can do more with it. But there's no evidence to that, except in mice. Now, here we go back to the guys. Oh, we use mice, and you can translate mice into humans. Ooh, be careful with that as a scientist. Because frequently what happens in mice, you don't have it in humans except the eating of cheese. It's like monkeys and bananas. They eat bananas, but that doesn't make them a monkey. Or related to a monkey. And they don't like my facetious, simple habit. So if you set secular reasons and so forth for not banning reproductive embryonic stem cell research, one flesh union, of course, scientifically it's human and you don't kill it. I mean, that's it. You have interrupted the future of this. I mean, this is just natural law ethics. You have interrupted this human being when you kill it, even if it's an embryo. You can't be human. And I said before, theologically, what do you mean you can't be human? Well, what is it before? And all these arguments are all there. You have to try to sit down and write them out. Well, in theology, it's a one flesh union. It's there from the very beginning. And so you have to raise your child in the instruction of this little law, and you will not murder. It's not kill in the Bible. It's murder. That means original intention is to kill an embryo. So you can justify research. You must murder. Murder is original intention. Now, if there's attorneys, you can help me out. I talked with, when I was out in California, there was a prosecuting attorney, actually a big young fellow from Stanford, very pro-life, and he helped everybody understand what original intention is and all that kind of stuff. And he sat there and kept shaking his head like this. Then I knew I was on the right track. Because I talked to attorneys about this. Okay? Nuremberg Code, there's 10 principles. By the way, Pastor Gerke, who was a recent pastor, was a chaplain for those, I think, 26 men that were tried, the Nuremberg trials. He was there, he stayed with them. Of course, one committed suicide, some were in prison otherwise, and some were hung or shot. And there are 10 principles. Here are just 10 of them. 3 of 10. You can get this off the internet. It violates the Nuremberg Code or the Helsinki Code. I think there's, I don't know, 36 or 7 principles from that. They don't like this code because they say it's too paternalistic. Like the Helsinki Code is too paternalistic. Fooey. Or what is it, 35 versions of the Hippocratic Oath? And of course, now they're teaching in some medical schools, like even at UVI and SIU, where my daughter went, they have to ask the students, do you want to know how to do elective abortions? It's not just doing a dilation of curative or dilation of extraction, DNC or DNA. My daughter said, I don't deliver her, not kill her. And when she gave birth to her child who was dead, and they bring the baby in, you know, we were all there, it's an incredibly emotional time. I saw this as a parish pastor. But I didn't know what it was. I don't think they understood it until I saw it. It's devastating. And I did the graveside burial and so forth. And the first thing Andrew said is, Dad, what is your grandson? How can anybody take the life of this child at 18 years? Second time. First thing he said. It's just amazing. Now, I'm not hacking on people who've had abortion, but I worked at somebody who worked with women who've had abortion. You've got to stay with them. You've got to befriend them. Well, if you want to do this, then let's experiment on the physicians. Let's pick them apart. Let's pick their skin apart. Let's find out what's going on with them. That's what the Nuremberg Code says. You can read the other principles. So there you have it. The politics of this, when we come back after the break, I'm going to show you a video on this. The Feinstein, and there's solid, you know, Hatch and what's his name? There's a lot of Republicans that want to do this. I really believe they're going to pass something. By the way, the reason I'm bringing this up is there will be a bill introduced either this spring before the break or in the fall when they come back after their summer vacation. to try and pass some form of therapeutic clone. We live in culture therapy. You go to a doctor and you say, what? Fix me! We have some nurses here. I know they agree with me. Fix me! My brother's a doctor. Call him up. I'm heading over. I'm heading out to Brazil. Can you give me some penicillin I can take just in case I get a sore throat? So he calls up the doctor and fixes me. Of course, usually he says it's a virus. Drink lots of fluids, etc. So I did. And I just sneezed my way down to Brazil. So that's kind of what you do. And Michael, they thought, I'm not hacking them. This is just what they believe. And just, you know, people have said to me, would you have gone up to Christopher Reeve and said, I disagree with you? Yes, I would. You have to stand up as a Christian for what you believe, teach, and confess. You can't sit back and be wishy-washy. Now, you can say, I don't understand all of this, but let me tell you what I understand. And this is their problem. Say logic and not research. See the emotional side of this? How can you say no to this? I like to say logic and I love to promote research. But this type of research doesn't fit God's word. And welcome to Stem Cell. We're going to quit now because we have lunch. And we're going to talk about Proposition 71 in California because I have it up here. Well, this one. This is journal Nature. You've got your relative on the front page. This is the little guy that found over in China, a little apartment. But even more important in here is this article here. After the gold rush, California voters have authorized the spending of $3 billion, it's actually $6 billion, but they'll never tell them that. On stem cell research, will this bonanza bring threats as well as opportunities? Peter Altus, A-L-D-H-O-U-S, like Aldous Huxley, weighs the hopes and fears. He's the guy, of course, that brought this first because his son has the new diabetes. And this little article is on Pony, and here you have a man who's been cloned. It's California, New Jersey right now. He had laws. It's always east and west, like gay, and it comes this way. And in Illinois, it says, legislation on cloned embryos for research unclear or absent. And, but they have all the Illinois state officials hope to create $1 billion. This is here. Isn't this Illinois? Yeah, okay. $1 billion Illinois regenerative medicines to this year. It's coming. They act, Harvard has actually done this in Cleveland already. Harvard's spreading out. Be ready. They will work with University of Illinois some way. I tried that once in Las Vegas. I put a roof and dollar on a little machine, you know. You know how roof dollars are. They roll over the torpedoes and pitch them in the plate. Make them kind of look like $5 bills or something. I used to do a lot of that when I was here. Sorry about that. Be influenced by tax on elective cosmetic surgery. The measure passed an initial hurdle in the state legislature on March 17th, this year, but still has a long way to go. It's coming here. So that's why I'm bringing up Proposition 71, because they're all going this way. So when we come back, I'm going to show you how they did this in California, because they're working on the same way here in Illinois, the same way in Wisconsin, New York, Massachusetts, where they have gay marriage. You just heard about the gay issue in Oregon. It's in this paper today, Connecticut. So when we come back after lunch, if you stay, then we'll go into this, then we'll go into Terry Scheider will be next after lunch, and then homosexuality.